It is Two Dads Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Will the Beast, presented by CarParts.com. You got to check out that mobile experience. Quick, easy, parts dropped right to you, man. Simple to use. Kev, how we doing, man? You feeling good?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. And we got a cool topic today, for sure.
I knew you were going to use that line. I was like, man, you got to go with the cool. This is better than a Fonzie jacket, y'all. This is absolutely as cool as it gets, the best in the industry. If you don't know vintage air, then you're not cool enough for this podcast.
No doubt.
Seriously, they're the name of the game. Anybody that has AC in an old school car, right, knows this company. Anybody that's considering it should know this company. Everybody that doesn't know, you're about to get a lot of knowledge dropped on you because we got the man behind it. But you and I both know we come from an era where you couldn't have AC and hot rods.
No. You took it all out and you sweated your tail off, man.
Yeah. Oof. It's like, no. Nobody. And you guys, you kids don't understand how good you got it with these 700 plus horsepower cars and these, you know, turboed up little 2.0s that are ripping like, you know, 10 second quarter miles while you're driving to the track in school, high school. Oh, you're killing
me. Man, we were scraping for every 375, 380, 400 ponies you could possibly get.
Yeah.
And man, stripping out the AC just seemed like the thing to do to make you go faster.
It was, because back then it robbed you of a significant amount of power. It was an incredible amount of weight. It was cumbersome to work on anything because the condensers were enormous, and just turning them, anybody that's, you burned up the old V-belt, you know, belts before when that, you know, clutch would go out, it would stop and just toast it. Like, we all had those junky items on our car for a little bit. For me, that was one of the first things that came off. I think probably 2 weeks into the car ownership, and I was probably a week and a half behind most.
Well, that's because we were broke too. So we didn't have money to fix that stuff. So yeah, once it started to tank, it was like, I'm going faster. Get it out.
Right.
Yeah, but see, me, smarty that I was, I lived in Florida. I grew up in Florida, man. It was hot. I had a black car. So that's how bright I was, man. Big old motor popping out of the hood, stripped off the AC, you know, head out, tongue out the door, sweating.
That's so funny. I had a tunnel rim and 2.4s.
We have grown up. We have moved on, and we are lovers of AC. And I tell you, man, there is zero reasons not to have any cool car without AC. You know?
Yeah, especially nowadays. You know, the new cars, you don't have to worry about it. You have the luxury of being able to have AC and all the creature comforts and, you know, your satellite radio, your GPS, your stupid AC. But man, if you're putting all that back into a classic, something that stands out, something that is, you know, is about 3 thumbs up per mile in my hometown, it really is the way to go to get AC in an old school muscle car and something maybe like a street rod or an old school pickup truck or just a more efficient AC to what came in that particular era. You know, say anything from an LS swap to a big block to, you know, across the board, they got you covered in so many applications. They truly are just a wealth and resource for us hot rodders and street rod guys, anybody doing a restoration. You're going to find out all about them. They're called Vintage Air, and we got the man behind it here in just a second. We're going to dive back in just a minute to the Two Guys Garage Podcast with the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Bird. Look it up, Google him. You'll see what I'm talking about. I'm Willie B. We're back in a minute. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. If you haven't checked out their mobile experience, you're probably missing out. Everybody knows how cumbersome or goofy and just how, you know, labor intensive it is nowadays going to a parts store. You're lucky if you get the right part. I'll be honest.
You know, it takes time and it means you got to get in your car. You know, I can be anywhere, get on my mobile, boom, order my parts, year, make, model, they're at my door. I love it, man. Easy way to shop for parts.
Makes you lazy, doesn't it? It makes being lazy so easy.
I like being lazy.
Hey,
it's all right.
And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. Some people interpret that as lazy, but honest to God, it makes such a big impact and difference. It makes cruising that old school hot rod, right, with those sweet, sweaty, vinyl, damn near imitation leather, Corinthian leather. it makes that stuff, man, tolerable. Because we've all seen it, we've all witnessed it. You may have the hottest honey dip thing in the side seat next to you, and she leaves a puddle there just sweating. She's uncomfortable. She's not happy. Nothing about her is going to make her get back in that car.
No, girls aren't into swass. You know, they're not
No.
into swass. And
No.
I tell you what, all you got to do is go on a cruise. Hot Rod Power Tour is a great one because you got thousands of cars rolling. And typically, there's so many cars that you're getting jammed up at every stop sign intersection in these small towns. So you're just sitting there. You got no wind, no, air moving through the car. And you can see all the happy people. Their windows are up. They got smiles on their face. They're rocking their tunes. They're checking their text messages, and these traffic. And you see everybody else just miserable. Sweating for days on end. Those are the guys that don't have AC. They haven't figured out what we figured out a long time ago, Willie. It pays to be comfortable, man. And
It
it used to be
does.
a lot harder in, these older classic cars, right?
Yeah,
You had to
amen.
get, OE kind of replacement parts and, a lot of the systems, the seals, everything just weren't kind of up to today's standards. So it doesn't matter what you have. You mentioned, all the different motor combinations and vehicles. They've got a kit for you. Whether it's just,
Yeah.
they're SureFit and you buy, hey, I've got a 65 Mustang. Boom. Everything goes right in there, right in the right places. And the whole bit, you just plug and play. Or you're building something wild, custom, you're moving things around. They've got more sort of generic things with all the bits in it, and you just kind of fit where you need to go. So there's really no excuse because they've got everything covered.
They being the one and only Vintage Air, and we have our boy Ryan Zwicker on the phone. And I need an organ, I need background singers, I need a mariachi band, something. This is the Chief Innovation Officer, y'all.
And Prince, the musician terms, formerly known as the VP of Engineering, he's now elevated to Chief Innovation Officer. So Ryan, awesome to see you, man, because we can see you, but everybody else can hear you. Awesome to have you on. I don't think we've got to hang since Barber Motorcycle Vintage Fest. So,
Yeah, exactly. The Vintage Motorcycle Festival.
oh man, I'm telling you, sidetrack here. For anybody that's into bikes, what a great event. Vintage bikes all weekend long, bikes everywhere, races. It's a blast.
It's awesome. And we had a great time out there.
We certainly did. Yeah. Our kind of co-friend, co-buddy, Brian Fuller, old co-host on Two Guys Garage. Yeah, great crew of guys out there. That was fun for sure.
An irony of an AC guy being at a motorcycle festival. Just
Right,
saying.
right. Well, gearheads are gearheads, and they do, all things gearhead, right? Hey, we're not complete ninnies. It's like
No.
when you can, you do. When you don't, when you can't, you just go about it anyways.
No, I'm with you, man. Throttle, whether it comes via the foot or the hand, I'm all for it. Or even the thumb. Hey, Ryan, how did you team up? How did you make the move to Vintage Air? Because I'm telling you guys, not only are you the industry leader in bringing AC and functioning cool AC into, classic muscle cars, and applications, platforms that people wouldn't even imagine, right? You guys not only innovate, create, you're doing so many things that help all that, supporting cast. I got, the last SureFit kit I got from my wide body charger is going to be on display, hopefully this year at SEMA. But now you guys are helping and assisting in so many ways. It's really become more than just the AC company, which really you cut your teeth on.
Well, just to give you a little background on me, so I grew up in Arlington, Texas, and I was always a gearhead up there. And you guys went in your intro, you were talking about how you'd take the AC off your car right away and get it out of there because it was, it was weight, it was horsepower, and you're a hot rodder, you don't need that sissy stuff. Well, that was dumb. So
It's
now
great when your
what are people?
friends check you,
Yeah.
like
So what are people doing now? They're having to go back to all those old cars we tore the air conditioners out of and put AC back in them. But I grew up in Arlington, and all my buddies had hot rods up there, and I worked at a little hot rod shop up there before I moved to San Antonio chasing my current wife. And that was in '96, and came down here, got a job at a engine machine shop, and
performance engine work, ran the dyno, you know, did the guy was doing some machine shop tools and things like that. He wanted patented, and I did patent applications for him, stuff like that, while I was going to engineering school. And then an ad in the paper for Vintage Air. I answered
the paper.
What's in the paper? Newspaper back. Yeah. Obviously we're dating ourselves here. So this is 98, 98. The internet was there, but it was like America Online or whatever. And answered the ad in the paper, picked up a phone with a cord.
Right.
Had a cord. Yeah. And called Vintage Air. And
is that just so you couldn't steal it?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, there were these things that had you put quarters in back then too, but kids these days don't even know what that is. But so I answered the ad, came in, interviewed, got the job, and I guess the rest is history. It was a good fit. So,
did you go in your interview with like the heavy slow car, but like the coolest interior temperature around? Was that you? Like, you were an AC guy from the beginning?
I wasn't an AC guy.
Or did you have to warm up to it?
I had to warm up to it. But you know what? Right before I moved down to San Antonio, the last, I had a buddy up there that I had done some engine swaps for, LT1s at the time, like the 90s, early 90s LT1s. And I had done an engine swap in an FJ40 Land Cruiser for the guy, and he loved it. So he wanted me to do a FJ40. Did I say FJ60 was the first one I did? FJ40 he wanted me to do. And he wanted me to put an LT1 in it and put a Vintage Air. And so that was my first introduction to Vintage Air 2 weeks before I moved to San Antonio, not knowing that a year later I'd be applying at Vintage Air and eventually get an opportunity to fix what I didn't like about that kit. So
nice. They did it.
That's why they kept you around all this time, man. You're handy. Right?
But it was a great kit, you know. It was a great kit, and we sold zillions of them before I got an opportunity to make it better. I started off in manufacturing engineering here and just kind of grew up to, you know, kind of through the ranks pretty quickly to developing some product and kind of overseeing all of the engineering manufacturing aspects of the thing. And
so what's new, man? You know, with this COVID and pandemic and everybody actually, you know, getting time back in the garage, turning a wrench, seeing projects they've left, you know, sort of dormant for a long time. I'm certain for you guys, and we spoke with Rick early on during the pandemic, for you guys, it was a fantastic year. You guys moved a lot of product. All of a sudden everybody was like, yeah, let's get back in it. So I'm sure you've seen some trends, some things that, you know, for you guys are new. Are you branching out more applications? Because, man, keeping up with just raw materials has got to be somewhat difficult, knowing the challenges that are out there.
And it's quite a challenge. It's, you know, anything from labor to you know, raw materials to components, you know, component shortages from all around the country and around the world. It's just a constant battle to keep us in parts. We've been very, very fortunate to have really strong demand. You're right. People kind of got back into their garages and they went out to that car and decided they're going to finish it and picked up the phone. And that's been great for us. And now we've got to build them their systems. So we're very busy here, and we've been just busting our tails. The folks out on the floor that are building the systems have been great. We're doing everything we can to get them out the door. We've got quite a few back orders, and we're diligently working through them. As far as trends go, we're constantly developing new SureFit kits. Just recently, we released the 65.6 Impala, 73-79 F100, and then we also got the Bronco in there on that one, and then get ready to release a G-body system, so that'll be cool.
Ooh,
so yeah,
okay.
We're getting all the G-body way up into shuffle. The 80s then. Yeah, so those G-bodies are really coming on strong.
Yeah, they are. You see the price of those, the value in those cars, man? It is crazy.
Yeah, it's a cool deal.
How, you know, GNs and GNXs and stuff, man, even the Cutlasses, the base models and so forth, they're starting to really pop in some money. It's not, there are very few cars. The selection, I think, is much smaller during the 80s for, you know, the cool factor of the 80s. I don't know, man, not a lot of cars shine in the light, but there's a few of them for sure. And I think those G-bodies, I think we'll see those really sort of soar in value over the next number of years. It's just like, it's got to be trucks, because everything we see and everything we hear nowadays has really shifted towards trucks. A lot of LS Watts, a lot of modern drivetrains in them, and that means a lot of need for AC and all the things you guys are doing.
Right. No, absolutely. Trucks are really strong for us, and so we wanted to close out all the Ford trucks as well. We've got the Chevy trucks up to 87, and the Ford trucks now up to 79. And and they're really strong movers for sure. And like you say, when they do the engine swaps, that kind of takes us into the other side of our business, which is the accessory drives, engine accessory drives. So, you know, you put the AC system on, and you can't really sell an AC system if you can't mount a compressor to the engine. And so so that's where the front runner.
That's fact, y'all. Google it.
It's a little tricky. A little tricky.
Yeah.
He's not lying.
So that's where the front runners came out is, you know, we always needed to do, we needed to mount compressors, and, you know, all these years, there just weren't really good solutions for compressor mounting. That was a, you know, kind of a check the box all in one.
But look, this is something I want to get into, because this is one of the biggest, at least for me as a consumer of your product. You know, I first stumbled on you guys in the back of a, you know, 82 Baronet Camaro that I bought for hardly anything at a estate sale. And it was like a universal kit from you guys. And I was like, wow, this is extra. So I really became a fan of you guys. I've used you on several cars. This is something you guys have absolutely created that is such an answer to so many problems out there. It is truly just, it's fantastic the way you put it together. Well, you can do everything from modern to old school. Let's take a break. We're going to come back, talk more about the front runner systems you guys are now producing there. They're outstanding, you guys. You're going to love this. All right, it's a break. We're back to you guys, Ride the Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B. We're back in just a minute. It is Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. Check out that mobile experience. Seriously, honest to God, I promise you, you're going to find it really easy to navigate. It's intuitive, and it gets the parts you need, you want, with money to save, all right? CarParts.com. You know, I'm stoked. We have Ryan Zwicker on. Anytime you see Ryan moving forward, make sure you call him the Chief Innovation Officer. He loves that.
Thanks a lot, Willie.
That's his new title, man. I want to see that on the door when I show up. And I'm like, yeah. Well, look, man, you mentioned front runners before the break. And these systems, you guys, they're unbelievable. They truly become such a helpful way to make the front of your engine, all your drivetrain, all your accessories. They bring it all together and tie it in a way that looks like custom.
Dude, they answer all your prayers. If you've ever tried to chase a junkyard to get random brackets for any old, especially old engines, right? For alternator and power steering and this and that.
I just thought about it.
Yeah.
Ryan, I got a name y'all could call him. You're the panacea of pulleys.
You're hired.
Oh my God.
There you go.
The panacea of pulleys. You can have that, bro. Take that. You should run with that.
Exactly.
I'll wear a t-shirt.
You're the new chief innovation marketing executive there, Willie. But it's serious. I mean, this is a complete front end kit, and not only does it answer all your bracketry needs, but you can modernize. So you're going from, especially in the older engines, you're going from V belt to serpentine belt, super clean. You're not getting the chirpy belts, the slipping belts, and man, they got that thing compact and it looks damn sweet. I mean, you roll up when you walk up to any engine and you go, that looks good. It's probably got a front runner on it. It really cleans up the kind of, you know, cheap bracketry looking stuff of the old engines and even the newer engines.
Hey, look, man, you could be a very hard leaning religious person. You see a front runner set up, it might make you curse. It's it really does. Most of us,
damn,
it makes us exactly. It makes us drop a word or six. It's like, oh, it is a really clean, gorgeous looking system. And you know, one of that, it's one of those things that when you see, especially LSs or old school cars, you know, that is a finishing and sort of a look and fit and finish that, man, it just elevates the car another level to me. Factory looks great if they're clean and, you know, they're the old cash pulleys. Sure, that looks fantastic. I'd give it a point. But when you pop the hood and you see something like this, it's all just, I mean, it really is magnificent the way they've shooting together the belts and everything tied and balanced. And it doesn't squeak, chirp. It really does elevate the build to the next level. It's highly recommended on this side of the fence, for sure.
Yeah, so if you got, you know, any vehicle and engine combo, right? Because now we're swapping like crazy. It's insane, you know, like we have no brand loyalty. Well, some, but we're throwing LSs and everything. We're
true.
Throwing newer stuff and older stuff. And you think, man, how do I connect between a 65 truck and this, you know, LS engine? These guys can walk you through. So you can get everything you need, you know, that fits your truck, whether it's the SureFit, whether it's, you know, the more generic kits that got everything you need, and then how to connect to the compressor and drive the thing. And, you know, they've got all the bracketry there, like we talked about, right? The front runner kit. Now you have, how new is it? Has it been around a while? Your cast version? You've had billet ones forever.
The cast version is brand new. So we started the front runner. Oh, geez, probably over 15 years ago. The first one was a small block Chevy. Then we did the big block Chevy. Then we did the small block Ford. We were talking about that earlier. The forged bracket for the small block Ford. Then we did the LS, Gen 3 and 4 GM small blocks, and then Coyote. And then the latest one we're doing, we were going to do Gen 5, the LT, Gen 5 LT GM engines. And when we did both the Gen 5 and the Gen 4. So we've got a version of this cast front runner for LT1 and also the Gen 5 truck engines and LS. So what it does, the cast one, it takes what we did with the LS front runner and makes it even more compact and solves some of the issues that we couldn't solve, because the billet one with the original style water pump, you were stuck with what water pump the engine came with. Once we cast our own, we were able to do some things to make it fit even better.
So yours is even more compact than the factory?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or more compact than your original one?
Both.
Wow.
So for instance, on an LT1, the throttle body, like on the Corvette and Camaro LT1s, the throttle body kind of points down. And so it ends up getting into the pump. Well, we lowered the pump. So we use a smaller ATI damper and we lowered the pump about an inch. So now the throttle body can clear the pump. So your intake pipe that you're coming up towards the radiator with will clear. We also, like on a lot of cars, your upper control arm mounts are over there where the heater fittings are and the thermostat housing. We pull that in and down an inch. So like third gen vets, those fittings are right into your control arms on the accessory, like on LS engines. Well, this is in and down an inch, and also it's got bottom feeds and side feeds, so you can plumb either way.
Oh, slick. Yeah.
And on top of that, we developed our own block fitting. So you can use either MPT fittings for your heater lines, or you can use a block fitting and you can use the number 10 AC lines. You can use AN lines. You can braze fittings to them. So you can do about anything at that point for your heater plumbing. Pretty slick setup. Of course, it's got the 170 amp alternator on it.
Man, where was this like 8 or 9 years ago when I was trying to package my LS in a tiny little BMW M3? Yeah.
Yeah.
God. Because oh, I really wanted to go with your front end kit, but your older one, right? It was just a little longer. And man, I was fighting for every like fraction of an inch, you know, up to my radiator and fans and whatnot. So I ended up just making
that car so tight. What did you do for fans on that car?
So I've got dual spalls, so I could get the water pump right kind of nestled between.
Right between
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. Man, it's,
yeah,
you can't get your fingers down in there. It's tight.
Yeah.
And I had to make my own bracketry for the AC because I had to, you know, tuck that up in there nice and tight because it was sitting on, you know, subframes and whatnot.
Sure.
So I kept everything else stock, but
now they probably make a whole kit for it.
That's what I'm saying, man. Sheesh. Where were you?
I love that car. I love that Speedbird car too, man. That
was a fun.
That was a home run.
Fun ride.
I got a question about what you guys do. So, you know, I never thought this would happen until it just happened to me recently. I'm restoring there's a Denver police officer. He's a veteran, but he's fighting stage 4 cancer. So me and a couple friends are building this Chevelle for him. And I got this LS3. The LS3 has condenser on it, but nothing else really for an AC. So it made me think of this, and this Chevelle, is that something that you guys would recommend, or you just replace the whole system, get a new condenser or anything like that? Do you ever have people call up and say, I got piece A and B, can I get the other, you know, two or three, an evaporator, this or that, whatever, to make the system work like it should? Do you do that type thing?
We get those calls all the time, and we do our best to steer folks away from it, mainly because you don't know the history of all those parts. So when they blew that car apart, usually they didn't cap all the lines and the fittings. And so you can have trash in them. You don't know if the compressor had failed. You don't know if they poured the oil out of the compressor and so on. In addition to the compressors on a lot of those engines are variable displacement compressors, which aren't compatible with most systems that aren't designed around that compressor. So we try and steer people away from it. It's not because we want to sell you more stuff. It's because you're going to invest regardless,
right?
In the system. And if you have, you save a couple $100 by reusing the compressor. If that compressor fails, it's going to take out the whole system, and you're going to start from scratch,
right?
Because it'll run trash through the whole system, and you just don't know the history of those parts.
Sure. Anybody that's done anything a la carte knows it tends to add up when it's all said and done to be more than just the kit would have been. I was just curious how often you get those calls. I wasn't really privy to it until it recently happened to me in that car. And I was like, you know what? I wondered, what if that happens a lot? If there's that's probably a pretty common thing for people to get or for you guys to answer.
It's real common. And, and I don't blame people. I mean, you spend so much money on these cars, everywhere you can save a nickel, it adds up.
Yeah. But the true value is that kit, you guys, when they go through all the research, when they say it's a sure fit kit, trust me, man, I've seen some of these things, that are, bad imitations, and there's nothing quite like a vintage air kit. And you'll see that, understand it once you you're seeing the hoses, for example.
They're not calling it a maybe fit kit, it's sure to fit,
a kind of fit kit. It's a kind of fit.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into them. We do a lot of research, and we've got cars out here, we depending on the car, depending on the model, like your Charger, for instance. We had, when we did the Chargers, I think we brought in about 6 different versions of that car, all the different trim packages and all of that, to make sure that we could hit all of the different versions that car was available in. We do the research up ahead before we even bring the cars in to find out what engine options were available, what trim and like dashes, like gauge clusters and those sorts of things that might change how the control panel fits or how the louvers are going to mount, how the core support might be, different radiators, whether it's a 6-cylinder or a big motor or whatever, the core support's changed. And then the bumpers change. And so we do all that research up front, figure out what cars we need to bring in to have an example of them and make sure, for instance, the condenser kit will fit all the different versions of front ends, bumpers, Camaros with hidden headlights or Mopars with the hideaway headlights and those mechanisms that want to get into the condenser. You got to have an example of that thing and make sure it's going to work in all of them.
Well, hey, I got a question, on fans. I saw on your website, you've got some mega fans.
Mega fans.
Yeah,
exactly.
Talk to us about some of those. Cause even folks out there that aren't going to, let's say, build a new AC system, or they're not building their car, but man, they're struggling with just underhood temps, getting cold air. Some of these fan upgrades can be a huge lifesaver for folks.
I gotta do a callback memory. Bird will remember us leaving SEMA the first night they did, first time they did Ignite.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't have any crowd control. And man, here's SEMA, the floodgates open. You drive from SEMA to this big event, you know, a few miles down the road, but everybody flooded out of SEMA into the strip. And it was just, dude, it was just massive car backed up, you know, bumper to bumper for miles. And all these hot rods and classic cars are in there, and they're just popping off left and right. They're just all overheating. It was, dude, it was perfect storm scenario for all these cars that didn't have a good fan combination. And there were a lot of them. You remember that, Bird?
Oh, man. Yeah. You
I was there, too. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And when you were talking earlier about the, you know, the cruises where you get stuck up, you know, you get stopped up in a city and you're going through stoplights and stuff like that. And you're sitting there idling for extended periods of time. And yeah, you overheat. You know, that's one of the most common things we wrestle with is folks that don't have a sufficient cooling system. And you know, they have a car that overheated before, unless they're up on the highway, and then they add AC, and the next call you get is, hey, my car's overheating. Worse. Well, yeah, you added more heat load, you added more restriction in front of the radiator. It's part of the deal. You've got to upgrade the cooling system as well. And that's where these fans come into play. Whether or not you have AC, this is a primary cooling fan for your engine, but it'll kill two birds with one stone. So yeah, we got these 850 watt brushless fans. They're just brutes. They're 19 inch diameter. And they're going to, if anything's going to cool your car, these fans are going to do it. And so we're basically building what you could consider a sure fit kit for the fan packages too. So we've got them for the Tri-5 Chevys. We just released 64 to 67 Chevelle. We just released 73 to 87 Chevy trucks, the square bodies. And at the same time, 66, 67 Bronco and F-100s.
Hey, I got a 69 Charger that will accept your challenge. I'm just saying, I'll be on the phone soon.
We'll be able to put one on it. That's not a problem. Trust me with that.
Okay.
So for a lot of guys, they're used to seeing fans and CFM. So how do you correlate between, you know, watts and CFM? Like, you know,
what is sort of the way to monitor and meter and measure what kind of quality fan you're getting?
Yeah, that's the hardest thing to do. When you go into a catalog, or you go into someone's ads, everybody is throwing out these huge numbers, 3,500 CFM, 4,000 CFM. If we say this fan does 5,000 CFM, the next guy I'll say theirs does 6. And
yep.
And there's
7 minute.
Yeah, ad. And it's very, very difficult for anyone in the field to prove it one way or another, because it takes, you know, complex system to measure the flow.
And a different restrictions too, right? You can do some flow rate with no restriction, then you put it in front of a radiator, it falls on its face. So
exactly. You know, the fan has a flow curve, and so yeah, you have to rate it at some back pressure, kind of like, you know, I don't know, compare it to like a turbo map or something like that. It's yeah, they'll say 3,500 CFM, but that's 35 CFM just blowing out into free air. You put it on a radiator, it may fall down to 1,000 or 900 CFM. Best way to judge a fan's capacity to do work is how much motor it has on it, because really that's what's doing the work.
Horsepower. There we go. That's the way I like to rate everything, man.
So, you know, I'll have a guy call me up and tell me, hey, I've got the, you know, I'm trying to troubleshoot a system for a guy and he's having overheating problems or his AC's not working well or whatever. And I can tell he's got high head pressures. And so I said, well, what fan package do you have? Well, I've got the, you know, the 4,000 CFM dual blah, blah, blah fans. And I said, well, send me a picture of those fans. I want to take a look. And this is a true story. So he sends me a photo of these two fans, and they have a little gold sticker down on the motor that I can read in his photo. And it's like 150 watt fan. So he's got 250 watt fans on this thing. So he's got 300 watts total. Trying to cool his engine. It's just not enough. Those dual spalls that you have on your speed bird. So that's 35 amps is what those things draw. That's a serious fan, pair of serious fans. That's, you know, I'll ask people, you know, what's the amp draw on these fans, or what wattage are these fans? That's what tells the story. And if you're not, you know, 500-ish watts, it's not the real deal. So,
and how many is your Brute? How many? What's the rating on the one you're referring to as the Brute?
850
watts. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's like three times the fan.
Yeah.
Power that guy was running.
It's a Brute, and not only that, it's a brushless, so it runs more efficiently than a brushed fan. So that 850 watts is doing even more work than a brushed 850 would. Plus, it's got an excellent blade design. We shroud it. We got a real nice mount for it. We have an injection molded. It's such a Brute of a motor. We injection molded a shroud.
Ryan, hang on. My 69 Charger just texted me. It said, I run 850s. So, yeah, it can drive to the track. So, yeah, just saying, it's anytime.
Well, if you want to idle it in the staging lanes, you're going to need one of these.
So. Where do people find you socially? How do people find out more about what Vintage Air is doing, making, and how they're helping us out? Because you guys have a lot of resourceful, knowledgeable forums and things that people can go there and resource to help them, you know, fight problems.
Absolutely. Well, you go to our website, vintageair.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We've got a YouTube channel. We've got a lot of really great installation videos that we've been producing on our YouTube channel, and also some troubleshooting videos. Those are excellent. We try and attend all the big shows, so we have a presence out there. Obviously, we go to SEMA and we go to the Good Guys shows and try and do a lot of local shows as well. But yeah, when you see us, come by, say hi. We love to talk to the folks, and you know, we're here to help. I mean, we're car guys too. That first and foremost, we're car guys, and we're just fortunate to be in this industry and have a job that we do what we love. So
I'll tell you, all those resources will be a big resource for you, your build, any questions, concerns you may have in it. They're great like that. Hey, make sure you check out our show. It'll be on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listing, throw a fit if you can't find it. You can also stream us, Motor Trend On Demand. It's a great way to find us. And thanks to my man, Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. Our guest, Ryan Zwicker. Our producer, Scoop, and executive producer, Bob Ecker.
That's right. And don't forget to check out our website too, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're on social. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Guys Garage. And of course, this Two Guys Garage podcast, it's copyrighted 2021, Britton Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved. Listen, share, but don't steal it.
Hey, Ryan, man, it's been awesome, dude. I wish we had more time. You guys are great. We love just everything you guys are doing. It's an honor to talk to you. You know, we got to get you on the show one day and show our audience what you guys are doing. It really is next level. Great stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
Good to see you again, man.
Yeah, man. Dude, hit him with the stay cool line, Bird. Hit him with the stay cool line.
Stay cool, brother. Stay cool. Yeah.
Catch you on the next Two Guys Garage podcast. See
you. See you guys. Two Guys Garage podcast is produced by Britton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.